This morning, we'll be reading from the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you'd bow your heads and let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, it is the first Sunday of Advent. It is a time of anticipation, a time of waiting, a time of excitement, a time of reflection. All of it is beginning today, and we are so grateful that we get to be a part of this. And I pray now, God, that the words that have been prepared this day, the words in this message, that you would bless them, because together we might discover something new. Together we might learn more about you. Together we might understand just a bit of who you are and how we can be yours. And all of this, I pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, it is the first Sunday of Advent. It's kind of a big day, kind of exciting outside, a little gray, so we just have to think positive Christmas thoughts. But it's the first Sunday of Advent, and you know what that means? That means in 4 weeks, 4 weeks we will be here again, 4 weeks and a couple days, we will be here again, and we will be celebrating the birth of Christ, and many of you will be in here, some of you will be online, and we'll be lighting the candles during Silent Night, you know, and the light will be spreading across the room, and we'll be like, oh, it's so beautiful, and it's so exciting, and it's so wonderful, but that's still 4 weeks away. You can take a deep breath now. It's still 4 weeks away. And some of you are like, oh, thank goodness it's 4 weeks away because I have so many things I need to get done. And some of you are saying, I wish it would come because Christmas is hard. Everybody comes to Advent in a different way. They come with different expectations and different thoughts. And it's all about getting ready for Christmas. And how do we do that? One of the ways that I get ready for Christmas, I do it every year. Besides, I actually start listening to Christmas music like in October, but tell no one about that. But in November, on Thanksgiving Day, you know what I do in the morning? Come on. I watch the parade. the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which many, many people do. I've done it for years. I love the parade. I don't know why. I loved it when I was a kid. I've watched it with my children. I've watched it with my grandchildren. I really like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I like the giant balloons every year. Like, what's the new balloon going to be? Are they going to fly? Are they going to not fly? Whatever that is. The floats, all the musical acts. I love all of it, but I really still get excited when at the end of the parade, who shows up at the end of the parade? Santa Claus. Santa and Mrs. Claus, and they come, and they're on this giant float, and there's confetti and snow, and everything is flying, and it's really great, and I just get this thrill still. And behind them, every year, which I honestly didn't notice until this year, because I was working on this message, there is a sign. Do you know what the sign says? What does it say? Believe. Every year, believe. What is it they want you to believe in? Do they want you to believe in Santa Claus? Do they want you to believe in Christmas? Do they want you to believe in Macy's? What is it that they want you to believe in? It's a great word to think about. And every year I watch this parade, and every year I think about it, and again, I love the parade. And that word believe, you know, it is everywhere. It is not just out at Christmas. There, it is in every card shop, every home store, every online catalog, different ways you see the word believe. And it sits on shelves, and it's on computer background, the background art, believe. Believe. You know, in fact, it's not just at Christmas time. It is all the time, and you can picture a woman at the beach. She's at the beach. It's July. It's hot, hot, hot outside. Her family's been at the beach for several days now, and it's time for that break, and so they've got to walk around. They've got to do something besides sun and sand and water because everybody's getting sunburned and all the things that happen after you've been at the beach for a while, and so she's going bopping. And you may wonder, what is bopping? That is a term that my daughter coined many, many years ago for that time when you walk around the town and you poke in all the little shops and you eat the ice cream and you eat all the good things that you want to eat and you maybe play mini golf. You're just bopping around doing everything. And she walks into a store. And as she walks around the store, she looks on the shelf and she sees the sign. And the sign says, what does it say? Believe. And she looks at the sign and she says, I need that sign. I need it. And before long, she is walking out of the store with a bag, and in the bag is her new purchase, and it's the sign, and it says, believe. And as she's walking out of the store, she is imagining exactly where she's going to put it. And she's going to take it with her when she goes to school on Monday. She's a middle school math teacher. And she teaches kids who are having a hard time. Day after day, she teaches class after class of kids that are struggling. And a lot of them have a lot going on at home. And so when they come to class, they bring with them the anxiety and the worry, and they bring whatever disturbance is a part of their lives that day. And she longs for them to believe. She wants them to learn. Of course, she wants them to learn math because math is, it really is important and they've got to learn it. But more than anything, she wants them to learn that there is goodness inside of them, that there is goodness in the world. And she wants them to believe in themselves. Believe. And she knows the sign is not just for the children. The sign is for her as well. You know where this sign comes from? Anybody recognize it? Ted Lasso. Yes, thank you so much. Ted Lasso talked a lot about belief. And if you watch the series, it swept across. It's been, 2 years now? It kind of went across the country. Here's what it's about, if you don't know it. If you do know it, I'll remind you of it. Ted Lasso is about an American football coach, you know, football like this, American football coach, who is hired by a woman in England to coach an English football team, you know, soccer, for those of us that are American. She hires him to coach this team, not because she wants him to help them win, but because she wants them to lose so that she can get back at her ex-husband, who she's really angry at, who owns the team. You got it? She hires the American football coach to coach an English football team so that they will lose, which feels a little odd, but that's what she does. And nobody thinks that Ted Lasso can help this team. Nobody thinks this team is going to win anything. But they didn't understand Ted Lasso, because Ted Lasso believes. He believes in people. He believes in goodness. He believes that the world has possibilities, and that if you will believe in yourself, life will be okay. He's never coached a soccer team. And one of his first acts as a coach is to tape this sign up in the AFC Richmond locker room. Because Ted knows something, that until the players believe in themselves and their team, they will never have a winning season. It's that important to believe. There was one show where another one of the characters says, "It's never going to happen, Ted. They're never going to win." And he gets so angry with them, and he kind of launches into them and says, "You have to believe. You don't understand. Unless you believe, you will never have anything else." It's that important to believe. Believing is not about wishing for something. It's about trusting in goodness. So what happens if you don't believe? Well, in Ted Lasso, you can kind of walk through all the characters and see, in Ted Lasso, none of the other characters believe. They just don't think it's possible. Rebecca, who's the owner of the team, instead of believing, she chooses to hold on to hurt. The whole team holds on to doubt in their ability. The team captain, he holds on to anger, so there's no room for belief. The fans are just holding on to cynicism. They are making fun of the American coach and just laughing at the thought that he might succeed. None of them could entertain belief because they're stuck in the darkness of disbelief. Many of us during Advent get stuck. We get stuck in the pressure of the season. We get stuck in the darkness of all the shoulds in our life. We should be together. We should be happy. We should look good. We should. And all of these things create a darkness that makes it hard to see beyond ourselves. But then, because it's Christmas, this word pops up. Believe. Believe. It's the first Sunday of Advent. We're in a season of believing. What are we believing in? The Gospel of John, which you heard Steve read this morning, opens with perhaps the most beautiful piece of scripture in the Bible. I read it every year, out loud, several times. It's a nativity story, but it's not a nativity story like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It doesn't have shepherds or wise men or a manger or a stable. Instead, John uses imagery and poetry to paint this picture of possibility. He shares with us reasons to believe. Look at this scripture. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Now, when you're reading this, you think that's a little bit confusing, and it is. But I want you to think about our concept of the Trinity. This is one of the places where we began to put that together. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And read this next line with me. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you're looking for something to believe in, you can start here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John continues. Read this with me if you would. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Read the first line again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You know what this means? This means that God became incarnate. Incarnate. Incarnate is a word that we don't often use today, except during this time of year. God became incarnate. In Greek, it is encarne, which means to become flesh. Encarne means God, the Word, Logos, all of those words that you, in the beginning was the Word, that means God, that means becoming incarnate. God chose to become one of us. When John says, in the beginning was the Word, John is taking us back to the beginning of time. He's reminding the reader that God has always been present. Always been present. In the beginning was the Word. God has always been with us. God has always been present. This is from the very beginning of time, but then God was with the people all through the centuries. All through Scripture you can read this. God was with us in the form of a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud with the people in the Exodus. God was with the people on a mountain in lightning and thunder. God was with the people in the Ark of the Covenant. God was with the people in the form of the words of the prophet. God has always been with the people, but it isn't until God becomes flesh, incarnate, say incarnate, incarnate, and dwells among us that we begin to understand how close God really is. God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Becoming flesh really takes the idea of being with someone to the next level. Incarnate. Being with someone in a whole new way. You know, it was during the pandemic that we really got this, right? During the pandemic that we began to understand what a gift it is to be able to physically be with someone. A guy named Sam's mother was in a nursing home. And every week, Sam would drive to the nursing home and he would park in the parking lot and he would walk over to the window outside of his mother's room where she was lying in bed, and they would wave at each other and they would smile. He would hold up the pictures that the grandchildren had made and he would tape them on the outside of the window so she could see them. And they mimed everything, you know, how are you? How are you feeling? And then when the visit was over, they would wave, they would hug and blow kisses, and as he would walk away, she would weep in bed because she longed so much to be physically with her son, but it wasn't safe. And then one day, he walks into the room. It had been so long, and he walks into the room, and he takes her hands. And she weeps again because she is so joyful. And she uses those hands and she wipes away her tears and she wipes away his tears. And the joy of being together is so great. They'd been apart for so long. It doesn't make the love any more. It just makes it more tangible. Being with someone. You know, physical touch, safe physical touch is powerful. One of the things, I have a 6-year-old grandson, and one of the things that he likes to do is take you in a dark closet and show you something that glows in the dark. Every time I go over, he does this. And so last week, he said, come on, Grandma. And he takes my hand, and we go into the closet amongst the vacuum cleaners and the coats and the boots, and he pulls the door shut, and the object didn't glow. And instantly, I hear and I feel his hand reaching out for me, and he holds on to me, and he says, "Grandma, I need to hold your hand because I don't like to be alone in the dark." And I said, "I got you, buddy." And we open the door, and everything's fine. God knows we don't like to be alone in the dark. God knows that we want somebody with us, somebody who's close, somebody who understands us, somebody who knows us. So God becomes incarnate and comes to earth in the form of Jesus so that Jesus is with us, so that we begin to understand that Jesus understands us. Jesus held people's hands. Jesus wept with people. Jesus hugged people. Jesus sat at the table and ate with people. Jesus was with us physically. That's God incarnate, being with us, coming down to earth. That's what Christmas is about. Believing that God came to earth in the form of a baby. It's so beautiful. When you think Christmas Eve and the manger and the stars and the angels, all of it is so absolutely beautiful. It is breathtaking. So why is believing so hard? Why is it that during these 4 weeks of Advent, we do all of these things and we put the nativity set on the altar and we decorate the trees, we do all of these things in this hope that we can believe. We can believe that God came to earth for us. Here's what we say. If you'll just believe in Jesus, it will be better. If you'll just believe in Jesus, you will be good. If you just believe in Jesus, you'll become more loving. If you just believe, all of these good things will happen. And here's the question that I want to ask you today. What if we have the order wrong? What if we work so hard on believing in Jesus that we forget the first important thing? God believes in us. God believes in us. God believes in us so much that God came to earth in the form of a man and lived among us. God believes in us because God loves us. God says, "You're worth it. All of who you are, all of what you have, you're worth it. In fact, I love you so much that I'm going to come and be with you. I'm going to be incarnate." God believes in us. The point of the incarnation is not that you believe in God. The point of the incarnation is that God believes in you. God believes you are worthy of love. God believes you are worthy of grace. God believes you are worthy of goodness. God does not love us because we are good. God loves us because God is good. The incarnation is not a reward for good behavior. It is a gift that we receive, and because of that gift, almost in spite of ourselves, we can live differently. We can find goodness. We can believe in God because God loves us. And when we grasp that, then we can embrace Advent. The message of the incarnation is God believes in us. Turn to the person next to you and say, "God believes in you." Do it online too. Say it one more time. God believes in you. Make sure everybody gets it. God believes in you. Some of you are sitting alone and you need to hear it. God believes in you. When you know this, when you believe in this, then you do Advent differently. Advent is not about doing everything right so that we can believe and have a nice Christmas. It's about believing that we are so deeply loved that we love others. And in doing so, we embrace the joy that can be Advent. Advent is about setting aside 4 weeks to get ready. 4 weeks to take in the fact that God so loved the world. Advent is about decorating. It's about singing. It's about exchanging gifts so that we know love and we love. I want to give you two more words, two primary ways that I think can help us get through Advent and help us comprehend this more. The words are weird, absorbing and acting. Absorbing is an odd word, and I chose it because the word I really wanted to use was contemplating. But when I say contemplating, people think of sitting in a dark stone chapel with monks and they're trying to be holy. And for some, that's great, but contemplation often feels hard for people. It's like, I can't do that. I don't know what to do with that. So I want you to think of the word absorbing, and here's why I want you to think of absorbing. I want you to think of a dried up sponge, right? Hard, nothing to it, and I think of water. And when you take the sponge, you can't squeeze it, right? There's nothing. When you put the sponge in the water, it grows, it absorbs, and it can't hold any more water. You squeeze it out, and it still drips. The sponge absorbs the water. What I want you to think about at Christmas is, how are you absorbing God's love? How are you getting so full of God's love that you've got so much of it that you can use it to help others? How are you taking all of this in? How are you absorbing it? Here's something that I want you to think about doing. Got a towel here. I want you to think about, how are you going to absorb? How are you going to absorb God's love? Today, tomorrow, all the weeks of Advent, how are you going to absorb it? And I suggest that one of the things that you can do, which is not hard, is every morning when you get up, you stand and you face the light, wherever the light is. And you say, God, fill me with your love. And you remember that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that's how much God loves you. You just face the light and feel that. And listen, if there is no sunshine that day, would have been hard to do today, you can do it in the bathroom light. It doesn't matter what light it is. The light is the representation of God's love filling you up, and allow it to come in and allow yourself to get so full that you've got all of this. You've got so much, you don't know what to do with it. And so you're going to take that and you're going to act. You're going to act and you're going to share that love that you have absorbed, because now you know God loves me, and you're going to share that with others. Acting is not so hard for us, right? Acting is about baking cookies and taking them to a neighbor. Not because you love the cookies, but because you love the neighbor. Not because you love baking the cookies, but because you love the neighbor. It is about inviting someone to Christmas Eve. Not because you love the songs, but because you love who the songs are about. You believe in them. Acting is about driving someone to an appointment. You do it because you believe that God loves you so that you can love someone else. If we can hold on to that belief, if we can hold on to that belief, that we can get so full of God's love, we can bring that to other people, then we can believe that there is a driving force for goodness in the world. And listen, after you watch the news for any length of time, you begin to question that. And you think, how is it possible that the world is so broken? But God still believes in us. And just like those children in that classroom, there is goodness in the world and there is goodness inside all of us. And we can become the people who help others believe in goodness and grace. Let me tell you how not to have a good December. Wake up every day and said, I'm going to do it better. I'm going to have a bigger Advent. I'm going to have a bigger Christmas tree. I'm going to have more cookies. I'm going to go to more parties. I'm going to do more, and it's going to be better. That's not how to have a good December. If you want to have a good December, you get up every morning and you say these words. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that will remind you that God came to earth because God loves you. Not because you're so terrific, even though you are, not because you're so good, not because you do all of the things that you do. God comes to earth because God thinks you're worth it, because God loves you. And when you can take this in, then you can absorb all of that and spread it around. You can work for reconciliation. You can work for peace. You can work with hope. You can understand that you can be the best that you can be because the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Do it every day through Advent. And then when you come to mid-January, you'll still know it. It won't fade away as it so often does, because so often we focus on getting everything done right. But this year, let's focus on remembering that we are loved, that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we can live in such a way that others will know the same thing. And we do it because it's Christmas. Amen?